Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTay along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Charlie Long will be joined by Steve Geller at 5:45 for our triple option feature. A little bit past 5:20, Zach Nagy will join us, publisher of LSU Tigers on Sports Illustrated, to give us a lowdown on the LSU's first day of pads. Bob, let's go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text lines. Could take James. James in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Hey, guys, I know it's been a minute, but any of you guys were or still are Michael Jackson fans by chance? I'm not talking about the guy that got cut recently, the last name Jackson, but literally Michael Jackson's fans.
You mean like the singer or the singer or wide receiver? Who are you talking about, James?
No, the singer.
The singer.
You know what his last album was? Shut that dog up behind me, please. His last album was This Is It. So this is it for our guy. I mean, you know,
For the coach, for Coach
He's
Allen?
He's talking about Dennis Allen.
Yeah.
Okay. And Justin Simmons is going to get you at least two games, I would think. I mean, he is that good.
It's, you mean like two wins? Two wins or just play two games? You mean two wins? Help us win two games?
No, he's good for two wins that's on the fence.
Oh, well, then hell yeah, you sign him.
Man, any guy that can get me two wins, James, I'd sign him tomorrow.
That might be a little reach, yeah, James, but two wins. Yeah. Yeah, for sure, you sign. Exactly.
But more than that, I heard one of you, I don't know if it was you or Deuce or somebody, was on the radio saying something about we got to develop our young guys.
Yes.
I'm still thinking.
You can still develop your young guys even though you bring in Justin Simmons.
Exactly. This is where I'm going with this. I believe that, you know, you may disagree with me. I know we had this conversation before, but Kool-Aid is a free safety on this team. He is safety on this team, and between Matthews and Justin Simmons, he'll get a wealth of knowledge on how to play that position. And yeah, I know you guys are gonna play him. We're gonna play him at corner, and I don't think he has the speed for corner.
I think he might be eventually like Malcolm Jenkins. I'm telling you, okay, Malcolm Jenkins.
Yeah, Bobby's brought that up. Sort of a hybrid player.
Yes, it was like okay, he's a cornerback. He could do both cornerback, safety. You put him in the nickel. That's why he was so valuable. And in the back end, he still could play in the slot. You could put him in the box, but he was a safety. No, James, they are not giving up on Kool-Aid right now at corner, whether it's on the outside or on the slot.
Looked too good at corner.
They're not doing that. None to say he can't play safety, but that's more down the road, I'm telling you.
Yeah, well, here's the other thing. I'm hopeful, very hopeful, that we also pick up another kicker, because we're not good enough to make.
We got two kickers. You want another,
James? James, I sort of agree with you.
So both of them.
Do you feel confident late in the game with either one? Now Smith is one thing because he's just learning football, but Blake, man, I'd like to see him become a more consistent place kicker out there, and he's been a little bit erratic even in practice sessions.
Yeah, well, Groupie, for all the leprechauns of the world, there's hope. I mean, and that's why, how can you be against Blake Groupie? I mean, you see him.
You pull for him.
If you see him walking on the street, you go, this guy's an NFL player. So I think he's mentally tough. Now, again, if you have a game-winning kick, do you make it or do you miss it? It gets to the case in point that I'm telling you, to me, it's almost like if it's plus 55 yards, you flip a coin. But now if it's like 52 yards, you got to make it. And for sure, it's like almost a 47, 48-yard field goal. You can't miss it. You have to make it or you got to go do something else. So I don't know. And it could come down to how the games are so close, James, that we talk about a kicker like with Blake Groupie. Just look at what, and a kind of controversial figure, even though he addressed the graduating class at a Christian private university. Look at the
Harrison
guy.
Harrison
Butker. Look what he got paid by the Chiefs.
He's the highest paid kicker in the NFL.
Yeah, and I think in history, Mike, you know why? Because they could count on him. Oh, and you got to make the kick. Are you going to make it or miss it? He makes it. And look, the bottom line, no matter what your politics are, whether if you're conservative or if you're liberal, whatever, in the NFL, are you producing? And that's how you keep your job. So people might not, I don't like what he said at that commencement exercise, the graduation. He's not in a public school. Well, why can't he say what he wants? And then the bottom line is, though, the Chiefs paid him because he could kick. They don't care his viewpoint on life or being a father or family matters. They know they can count on him kicking. Right now, do the Saints have a kicker they can count on? I don't know. But they'd want Groupie, our young guy, to work out. They don't know.
That consistent. Because, right. Man, Harrison Butker's been unbelievably consistent in this league. Charlie, you got something to say?
4 years, $25.6 million for Harrison Butker, $17.75 million.
Guaranteed.
Also the most for the position. So, I mean, as to your guys' point, you can remember multiple Chiefs playoff runs where Harrison Butker was asked to make a big kick
and he always
comes through.
And not in the best of weather.
No, you remember
that
game against
the Bills?
That's the
other part, yep.
Like the Bills were, the 13-second, the famous 13-second comeback that the Chiefs had to force overtime. Harrison Butker was the one that made that kick.
Right.
So, I mean, they have all the trust in the world with him, and that's why 4 years, $25.6 million, $17.75 million guaranteed to a kicker. But, I mean, it's an important one.
Well, and he don't miss when everything's on the line.
The game comes down to make or miss league. We say that all the time. Now, Groupie, I think you could see at times, but he's been consistent. But he's been inconsistent. Okay, I'm going to tell you this right now. Save this. Okay, you might say, well, you got to make it over 40 yards. Groupie between 40 and 49 yards, he was 8 of 10. No, dude, you got to be 10 of 10. Okay, now you might say, wait, man, that's not fair. 50-plus kicks. You know what Groupie was? 6 of 9. Okay, I can live with that. You got to be 10 of 10. But you know what I cannot live with?
That 30
between
to 40.
20, no. 30 to 40, he was 6 of 6. 20 to 29 yards, he missed two kicks.
No, you can't have that.
He was 10 of 12. That's why to say Blake Groupie's our future, not so much. And he's a confident individual.
To do what he's accomplished at his size, he got a lot of confidence.
No, he looks nothing like an NFL player. He didn't even look like an NFL kicker. Maybe I'm used to big kickers like Martin Anderson, whatever. But no. Blake Groupie, even to get where he's at right now, is a great accomplishment. But that doesn't mean he's going to be the future of the Saints as far as kicking the football. No, you cannot miss. You cannot
miss 29.
You cannot miss two kicks between 20 and 29. You cannot even miss two kicks between 40 and 49. Maybe one between 40 and 49. No, that's how demanding the job has become to be a kicker in the National Football League.
We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870, and Zach Nagy will join us, publisher of LSU Tigers on Sports Illustrated, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, Charlie Long. We're going to go to our Oakland Hard Jewelers Talk and Text Line, the publisher of LSU Tigers on Sports Illustrated, Zach Nagy. Zach, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Zach, a lot of talk today certainly about the further development of Chris Hilton at wide receiver. And we heard Joe Sloan tell us stuff about Caleb Jackson. He didn't need to tell us because we didn't see enough of him. But, man, is he carved out of stone now. I remember when he first came to LSU, he was like 205 pounds. And what he's up to now, 228 or 230 pounds. So a little bit about Chris Hilton's development at wide receiver and Caleb, who, and I think this is a big year for Caleb at running back.
Yeah, man, for sure. When it comes to Chris Hilton, this is a guy who's been waiting his turn. He's been waiting his opportunity. And now with Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr. gone, it's kind of his time to shine. And you kind of look at him and Kyron Lacy to be that 1-2 punch at the receiver position. And I've been really impressed with what I've seen from Chris so far. He's been consistent. He hasn't dropped a pass yet. He looks like an impressive vertical threat. He's really been impressing as a slant receiver too. So his speed's been on full display. I've been really excited about what I've seen from him so far. And look, man, like you said, it's his breakout year. It's his time to shine. And a lot of people call it the money year. And for him, It's definitely his money year, and he's looked the part for me. So I've been really impressed with what Chris Hilton's provided this program during fall camp so far, and it's just a matter of remaining healthy and continuing to hit that stride. And when it comes to Caleb Jackson, yeah, I mean, he's just an absolute stud. This is a guy who's up to 235 pounds now, believe it or not.
Jeez.
He's put on about 30, 35 pounds since he's got to campus in 2023, and he's in for a big-time year. You have Josh Williams in the backfield, who is just an unbelievable pass protector, but all eyes are going to be on Caleb Jackson to be that versatile three-down back. So really excited to see what Caleb Jackson and Chris Hilton can do this season, because it's time for a breakout season from both of them, and I fully expect that to be the case.
Now, Zach, what is your take? Because I don't care if it's LSU or it's the NFL, or really if you're a head coach and you coach Kelly and, you know, you're observing what's going on in the competition, whether it's 7-on-7 team periods. You don't want the offense to dominate the defense. And it seems like my understanding, what I've read, is that at times that it's been a 50-50 deal, that the defense has been able to make plays in different drills where, as a coach, that's what you want. You win some, you lose some, offense and defense, so you have some type of balance. Has that been the case? Because to truly be a playoff team this year and to get to 10 wins, the defense has to be drastically improved. You know, you might say you lost Jane Daniels and Nussmeier. I'm not worried about Nussmeier and all. I'm worried about, come on, the defense. So you need it's a confidence and all that. So has it been a case in point where the defense at times, you see him making plays against the offense, and I don't know if you can break it down 50-50, but it's not just total domination by the offense.
Yeah, no doubt. Last season during fall camp with Jaden Daniels at the helm, you were just seeing him carve up that defense like a turkey every single day, and you didn't see a single play from the defense for the most part. And look, that's not even really a drastic overstatement. It was rare when you'd see the defense make an interception, a pass breakup, make anything highlight worthy, and now fast forward to 2024, and you're really looking at this defense make plays, and it's headlined by Ashton Stamps at the cornerback position. He's a Rummel product. He's from the Metairie area. He's really impressed so far, and for me, he has all the makings of being a breakout star. But kind of highlighting your question here, really, it's been about 60-40, 50-50. You've been seeing Garrett Nussmeier go over the top to Kyron Lacy, but then you'll see this defense shake back and make plays, and specifically for a guy like P.J. Woodland, who's a true freshman cornerback out of Mississippi. He's been a guy who's had his freshman moments, of course, during camp, as they all do, but he shook back in a really good way. We saw him get beat over the top on a play to Tre'Dez Green, made a phenomenal play, but then he shook back and made a really nice interception as well. So, look, you grow when you can. You take the good with the bad, and that's really what I've seen from this defense so far. And like you said, if you want to take that next step and get to a college football playoff chance, you're going to have to see that defense step up a significant amount, yes, but a good bit. Yeah, they're going to have to take that next step for sure. And I've been really impressed with what I've seen.
Now, Zach, looking at this from a special teams perspective, it seems like obviously they got to pay attention more to detail. That's Coach Kelly and what they're doing, whether in the return game. And then also when you're trying to flip the field and field position, all that. It seems like it's pretty wide open. I was reading where as far as who's going to be the punter. Blake Oschendorf and then Peyton Todd, they're in a position battle, obviously, for starting duties there. And then looking at Oschendorf, he comes on the transfer after spring practice, from Louisiana Tech. Last year became first-team All-Conference USA, right on 46 yards per punt. Always look at – don't look at the gross punt. Look at the net. Because the hang time and the coverage. So, Zach, is it that still wide open? Because it can't be like all of a sudden you won the job, and then you might say, well, it's college, it's not the NFL, but you can't shank no 15-yard punt. You have to punt it consistently. So what's your take on that competition?
Yeah, I mean, no doubt. And you've seen in Brian Kelly's tenure in Baton Rouge, special teams has been a struggle, and that's no overstatement. It's been brutal, and especially when it comes to punting, kicking, everything, returning, everything needs a revamp here. And when it comes to the punt, the punter position battle, I'm starting to lean towards it's not as wide open as it was a week ago. Blake Oschendorf is really starting to separate himself from Peyton Todd, in my opinion. Peyton Todd didn't have a very impressive spring camp campaign. So you went out and you added a Louisiana Tech transfer, and Oschendorf's lived up to the hype so far. He's been significantly better than Peyton Todd, in my opinion. And you speak to a couple other people as well, and they would agree with that too. So for me, I think he's closing in on winning that battle. But Brian Kelly's going to give his veteran and Peyton Todd a chance down the stretch. But for me, I think Ochsendorf is certainly looking the part and has an opportunity to win that battle. And the hang time's there. Everything's there. The distance, everything you're asking for from a punter is there. So I've been really impressed with what he's provided so far during spring camp. But I think they're going to let that dwindle down to the wire. But in my honest opinion, I think Ochsendorf wins that job, and I think he wins it handily.
Zach, we sort of talked about this last night on a text, but back in 2020 after the national championship season, Coach O had asked me, hey, listen, when you've got free time, is the pandemic time, do a little breakdown on what positions get injured the most. And he was talking about missing games, college pro level. And it basically worked out exactly the same of what positions over a five-year period miss the most games. Number one, clear-cut offensive tackle. Number two, offensive guards and center. Number three, cornerbacks. Number four, halfbacks. Five, interior defensive tackles. Now, we all know they return four of the five starting offensive linemen. And you got DJ Chester coming back. But history repeats itself with injuries. Offensive linemen are going to get hurt. So kind of run down a little bit the second-team offensive line, because I'm telling you, that's going to be three or four times in this 2024 season that if it's Bo Bordelon, if it's Paul Mabinda, if it's Cohen Echols, Weston Davis, okay, if you're an LSU fan, man, who the hell are those guys? Those are the guys that are going to be starting. Okay, guys get hurt inside. They get knocked around, and it's a real physical game. So kind of go through from left tackle to right tackle, who would be the second-team offensive lineman? Yeah, they backups now, but eventually during the season, two or three or four of those guys are going to be starting at one time or another.
Well, Zach, like Mike's saying, I don't care if it's LSU or the NFL because it's the same thing. Saudi said conference, I'll look at the NFL. You can't just have five starters. You got to have like six, if not seven, capable guys that you plug in and play and you don't miss a beat.
Yeah, no doubt. And Mike, I love the passion there, of course, because you're right. Dudes are going to get hurt and people are going to have to step up and kind of take on that workload if need be. So kind of going from left to right at your left tackle, it's Tyree Adams. And for him, man, I have been so impressed with what he provides this program. It's another New Orleans native. He went to St. Aug and he's been dominating in the trenches. He's up to around 6'7". 320-ish right now. He's an absolute monster. And for me, that's kind of your sixth man. That's your guy who has really taken a leadership role within that second unit. He's just been a really impressive guy. And then the rest of the guys are really young. Paul Mabenga at left tackle. Cohen Echols at center. Bo Bordelon at right guard. And then true freshman Weston Davis at the right tackle position. Bo Bordelon was the guy who was playing right tackle. And then you saw Weston Davis kind of emerge as a player who can really take on significant reps if need be. So they shifted Bo over to the right guard spot. And I think that could be his bread and butter, man. He's a guy who's versatile as all. I'll say, heck, we'll keep it PG. But he's a guy who's so versatile, and I've been really impressed with what he can do. He's got that lineage. He's obviously an LSU legacy with his dad, Ben Bordelon. So I'm really impressed with what he provides this program. But look, that second team, it's been a hands-on approach from offensive line coach Brad Davis. He's been all over them like white on rice, and it's been really good to see. He's almost spending more time with the second team than the first team just because he's trying to keep them poised and ready just in case something happens. Like you said, Mike, if they need the chance to get on the field, he's keeping them sharp. But for me, that sixth man, that guy that you're going to be looking to is Tyree Adams. He's had an excellent, excellent offseason, an excellent fall camp. I've been nothing but just impressed with what he provides this team. And then you look at the other guard position in Weston Davis. It's a five-star recruit. And he's really taken that step, too. Brad Davis has been coaching him up really, really well. So the tackle positions are definitely there for the long haul once Emory Jones and Will Campbell are gone. But, look, the second team, you got some dudes on that side. And I'm excited to see what they can do under Brad Davis for the long haul.
Now, Zach, you mentioned the offensive line. And I think Coach Kelly and Brad Davis, when you look at if you're playing tight end, and we're having tight end plays, you're like a glorified tackle on the outside. You know, the more you could do. And that's one thing under Coach Kelly, you could look at his background, offensive line, and tight ends. You'd be extremely disappointed if you wouldn't have guys who contribute at a high level. So I was reading where LSU's working with both Taylor, Mason Taylor, and Pimpton in two tight end sets, with Pimpton improving as a blocking tight end. Because we all view him as kind of receiving tight end, but break that down for the fans, and you might see. Well, everybody wants to see everybody spread out and all the RPOs and all that. But like when you gain yardage, you're gaining yardage. I don't care if you're utilizing two tight ends and you take advantage of the defense and how they're trying to stop you. But just break down that strategy, two tight end sets, and what Coach Kelly and the offense in that regard, what they might do.
Yeah, Mason Taylor is about as consistent as you can get from a tight end. You can put him wherever you want. He's going to find his bread and butter, whether you need him as a blocker, a receiver. We saw him do it against Alabama on that two-point conversion as a true freshman, and he's only kind of taken steps in the right direction ever since. So this is his quote-unquote money year, so he's going to be really trying to assert his dominance there. But he's going to be working in a two tight end set with Kamorian Pimpton is the look right now. And like you said, Kamorian Pimpton's a guy who's starting to get a little bit better by putting his hand in the dirt, becoming a really solid blocker. He's taking strides in the right direction there. But the two tight end set is going to be something that can help them in the run game for sure, where we're seeing more schemes with Caleb Jackson, who we talked about a little bit earlier, and Josh Williams as well. You're replacing over 1,000 yards on the ground we're talking about right now with Jaden Daniels, Logan Diggs, both those guys departing the program. So you're going to have to find some ways and get savvy just to try to find some guys that can really step up the run game. And for Brian Kelly and the rest of this offensive staff, that's working in a two tight end set, whether it's RPOs, whatever you can do there. But you got to get the run game going, and I think the two tight end set is going to help them in a lot of different ways, headlined by Mason Taylor and Kamorian Pimpton. But I'd be doing everybody a disservice if I wasn't talking about five-star phenom Tre'Dez Green. I mean, this is a Louisiana native who is bursting on the scene. Mike, you and I have talked about him before, and this is a guy who is just a phenom. I mean, he's a 6'7", 245-pound tight end, but you can put him as a receiver. You can put him wherever you want on the field. He's going to make a dang play. The tight ends are locked and loaded. The two tight end set is going to give them a lot of different options in the run game, the passing game, whatever you need, that they're going to live it up. So I'm really excited to see what they can do there. But to what you were saying, Bobby, yeah, of course, the two tight end set is going to open up a bunch of different options in the run game as well as in the RPO set as well.
Zach, I was talking to an LSU staffer, and he told me this. He said there's a lot of discussion about this in the defensive meetings. We got to find a way to get these young safeties on the field. And they, of everything that's happened on the defensive side, the football in the offseason, the development of their second-team safeties who are now pushing the starters hard to see playing time. Your thoughts?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the first team, you got Jordan Gilbert, Texas A&M transfer, and then Jordan Allen, who's a veteran on the team. But look, the attention's got to start shifting to that second team, and that's true freshman Deshaun Spears as well as redshirt freshman Kylan Jackson. And those two guys, I'd say start getting familiar with those names sooner rather than later, because Deshaun Spears is starting to form that consistency that you want from a true freshman. And you're going to hear me use the word consistency a lot, because that's what Brian Kelly's been saying to the media, to the team, to everybody. It's all about forming consistency, and you're really starting to see that with Deshaun Spears. This is a guy, another Louisiana native. He went and played at Denham Springs right down the road, and he's really bursting on the scene, Mike. I've loved everything that he's doing right now. And then Kylan Jackson. He's a guy who a lot of people would have thought would have been sitting back in that star role right behind Major Burns as the backup, but they shifted him back to safety, putting him into Deshaun Spears at that second team, and they're bursting on the scene really, really quick. I've been really excited about Deshaun Spears, and a second ago I was talking about Tre'Dez Green and talking about how phenomenal he is, and trust me, he is a phenom, but I'll contradict myself a little bit. Deshaun Spears came out today on one-on-one and had a really impressive pass breakup while on Tre'Dez Green and one-on-ones and press coverage. So it's been really nice to see the competition level from the young guys and Deshaun Spears and Kylan Jackson. Remember the names, because I expect to see them kind of take that jump as we transition to full pad work for the rest of fall camp.
Yeah, Zach, that's what I was going to ask you, because it's all about competition. I don't care if you've been here. We grade you every practice and or who's winning and who's being more productive. Could it be a case in point that Deshaun Spears, even though he is a freshman, could he unseat redshirt junior Sage Ryan as one of the starting safeties? You know, I've heard a lot of LSU fans have heard that name, Sage Ryan, but just because last year was last year, then you go forward and where you're at, could that be a possibility?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, Sage Ryan's a guy who's getting cross-trained right now. He's working at cornerback first team right now. He's worked at safety in the spring. He's a guy who they're putting all over the field because they can't quite find his bread and butter right now. And LSU fans have given him a bad rap. And look, it is what it is. He hasn't produced at the level that a lot of people would have expected, considering he was a five-star out of high school. But when highlighting Deshaun Spears as a whole, this is a guy who's going to be pushing for playing time. I can't see a way where he doesn't see the field as a true freshman this season. He's looked that polished, that clean cut, and he kind of fits the mold of what cornerbacks coach Corey Raymond, safeties coach Jake Olson. You're looking at what the secondary's like and what the play styles they're looking for, and that's Deshaun Spears. He's a lanky guy who's not scared of contact. He can get in the passing lanes. He'll hit the receiver if he needs be. And now we're in full pads, so we're going to get the full dose of what he's all about. But, yeah, Deshaun Spears is a guy who a lot of people have been raving about, and clearly myself here, if you're listening to the way I'm talking about him. So I'm excited to see what he can do. And, yeah, Bobby, I could see him unseating somebody if need be, just in case. You know, you got that safety depth right there for him.
Now, Zach, before we let you run, right now, I know the coaches poll came out. LSU's 12th. USC is 23. The fans, there's no way in hell we should lose to USC. I mean, that's the way LSU fans look at it. I mean, come on. Lincoln Riley, they got pressure, their defense, LSU's defense, who's going to show up? But come Las Vegas, it's going to be here before you know it. LSU should win that game.
I would like to agree with you. I'd like to say that they got to go out there and make a statement, because if you drop that first game against USC, you're making your life very, very challenging for the rest of the season, considering you got Bama, Ole Miss, Oklahoma, UCLA. You got some teams on that schedule that are challenging. You can't drop that first game. And clearly in the past, if we were hoping history doesn't repeat itself here, LSU struggled in season openers in the past. It's no secret. We've seen it. But you got to go out and win that game. And it's going to be a shootout. You're looking at two defenses that aren't necessarily stellar. USC has some guys, but they're not necessarily the most impressive group in the world. LSU's defense has something to prove. So I think you're looking at a game that could be a shootout. I believe the over-under right now is sitting at about 62.5. So you're looking at a shootout, and you got to go out and win that game in Vegas. The lights are going to be brighter than ever, and it's an opportunity for LSU to prove themselves. And if you're asking me right now, I think LSU's got the weapons offensively to kind of win this one out and do what they can there. But we got a long way left until fall camp. I got a couple more evals that I got to do on both sides of the ball before I can give you a prediction of that sort. But look, I'm feeling really confident in LSU's chances going into Vegas against the Trojans for sure.
Zach, thanks so much for joining us today. Always great insights, bud. Thanks so much.
Of course, I appreciate it. Y'all have a good one.
All righty, Zach Nagy, publisher of LSU Tigers on Sports Illustrated. When we come back, it'll be our triple option feature here on the Big 870. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTellier along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, Charlie Long, joined by Steve Geller. Steve, you'll go first on triple option.
Yes, sir, guys. We know that these joint practices in the preseason, leading up to the preseason games, always a ton of interest. You feel like teams are getting a lot of good work in. Well, the New York Giants and Detroit Lions didn't have such a great week of practices against each other. They did more fighting than they did practicing, and both
no
teams,
Malik did. No,
exactly. Both teams now, they're incurring a $200,000 fine from the NFL. The NFL reminded teams last month.
Well, you can't fight?
Right.
What's wrong with that? Fighting
and unprofessional contact at joint practices will not be tolerated. That didn't deter the Giants and Lions. They had more than a dozen scuffles at their camp, and it wasn't just the old shoving and pushing and mouthing off. There were some fists thrown, and really stupid when you think about it, too, because you see guys throwing punches at people when people, you know, guys are wearing helmets, and you're just going to end up busting your hand.
No, what you got to do is you got to punch them in the throat, or you got to go uppercut. You can't go straight on. Let me tell you, one of the most famous fights in NFL history. I guess they call it the Nat Line in Macon, Georgia.
Right.
Buddy Ryan and the Eagles were coming down and playing Jerry Glanville in Atlanta. Talk about a free-for-all. It was unbelievable. The fight was so bad. You know how you have joint practices?
Yeah.
They had that practice. They stopped the practice. Then they couldn't even go the next day against each other.
Well, that's what happened Tuesday session with the Lions and Giants. They just cut it short.
No. But they practiced the next day against each other?
No, that's today. Tomorrow they're playing in the game. Preseason action. We'll see if that spills. We'll see if it spills into that game that was in MetLife Stadium.
Yeah, so that I guess the NFL is trying to nip that in the bud. But if you can't ice skate, don't you like a ice hockey fight? I mean, I don't know. It's the players.
You're allowed to fight in hockey. You just get a penalty.
Yeah, you break your hand, so whatever. The moral of the story is if you ever get in a fight, don't take off your helmet. And if you're trying to get the best...
Go for the throat.
You go for the throat. You go for the Adam's apple.
Don't go for the helmet.
No. You go for the Adam's apple, you might throw a few uppercuts and stuff. So, I've seen, I remember Tim Green. Now he's dealing with ALS, that boy. And Tim Green, the author, played at Syracuse, first-round draft pick. They said the Eagles players, remember Scott Cason all telling me this, they had Tim Green up along a cyclone fence. And they were actually... One player was holding up his face mask, and the other one was giving him the business with the uppercuts. And it was like...
Tag team.
It was like, okay, we're not going to break our hand. And so I said, Scott, y'all didn't go to Tim's rescue or anything? What happened? They go, no. He was kind of a Rhodes Scholar, prima donna, so we're glad he was getting beat up a little bit. Even his own teammates. And Tim Green was a great individual, kind of undersized defensive lineman that always got it done. And we always loved going up there and wild turkey hunting in upstate New York and hang out with him and all.
Yeah.
But, you know, you tell stories when late at night you're having a few pops and all that. And so, hey, remember, Tim, that's kind of funny. None of your teammates came to your rescue as the Eagles were whipping you behind.
Well, hopefully when you go next week to California, you don't see any fights breaking out between the Niners and the Saints.
They liked him in California.
I don't know. They have a fight. It's part of the training camp. The only thing is, if you're getting in a fight, you don't want to get hurt in a fight. No, if you get in a fight, that could develop some toughness. But you know what? Everyone's not so dehydrated and it's so hot that you're aggravated. No, the weather's nice, so there shouldn't be any fights.
Yeah, like I said, I figure you usually get the pushing and shoving and some, you know, some curse words thrown at each other, but nothing too serious.
Yeah, a lot of curse words. Not a few curse words. A lot of curse words. And then I told you to stop holding me, whatever, and all that.
What you got for triple option?
Yeah, well, what I got for triple option, I thought this was unique. You know, it came out with the USA Today coaches poll. And obviously, you mentioned like LSU being 12th. Coach O at the U now, working in Miami, they like number 19th. Tulane's number 46. Okay, you look at they're 46 in the nation right now. But the thing that caught my attention, I still call it 1AA, but the FCS poll. You know, not everybody can go to Nebraska or like Wisconsin. Whoever you might think is the top programs as far as, the Big 12, the Big 10, SEC, whatever. You know who's dominating right now, that next tier? It's the damn Dakotas. South Dakota State, the Jackrabbits, number one. Now, this team has always been amongst the best. North Dakota State, number two. Now, my best friend who passed away in 2015, the Montana Grizzlies, University of Montana, and then Montana State, the Bobcats, they're number four. So South Dakota State, North Dakota State, Montana State. Then you look at even number five, South Dakota, the Coyotes. So it's all these damn Dakotas or Montana who's really in the top five. If you look at the Southland Conference, Incarnate Word is number 14 out of San Antonio. I look at Nicholls State, they're representing. They're going to play the LSU Fighting Tigers. They're 23rd in the nation right now. So I just thought it was interesting because, you know, like at players, I want opportunities. And you see players now in the NFL from these Dakotas on the rosters.
Right.
So it's kind of like South Dakota State, North Dakota State, Montana State, South Dakota. It's all these If you have a choice, you really don't want to go there. Now, some of them play indoors, but it's so damn cold up there, I might want to go to a different school.
I was going to say this yesterday, but, man, growing up, Dwayne Thomas with the Cowboys passed away a couple of days ago.
Oh, what?
Yeah. Man, controversial for his time, but, boy, was he a stud football player. Passed away, and, boy,
Mike,
you
how,
were
he
living,
that, how old was he? He wasn't that old, how?
In his 70s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No. He drove Tom Landry crazy. That's when he was so good, they knew he was doing the white powder, and they still let him play. That's all dominant Dwayne Thomas. Like, you talk about
a guy that tilted the field for a couple years. It was Dwayne Thomas with the Cowboys.
He would tell the players. He'd tell the coaches to go take a hike. But he was that good, they didn't want to get rid of him.
They didn't want to upset him. Just win for us. We'll be back with more here on Sports Talk right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Finishing up here in our number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTay along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, Steve Geller. Bob at 625, yo, Coach Jim Mora joins Sports Talk here, and he'll give his thoughts on the Saints for the 2024
season. Coach Jim Mora might be the best 89-year-old man that I've seen in a while.
We'll be back with more Sports Talk right after this news break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTay along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, Charlie Long, joined by Steve Geller. Steve, you'll go first on triple option.
Yes, sir, guys. We know that these joint practices in the preseason, leading up to the preseason games, always a ton of interest. You feel like teams are getting a lot of good work in. Well, the New York Giants and Detroit Lions didn't have such a great week of practices against each other. They did more fighting than they did practicing, and both
no
teams,
Malik did. No,
exactly. Both teams now, they're incurring a $200,000 fine from the NFL. The NFL reminded teams last month.
Well, you can't fight?
Right.
What's wrong with that? Fighting
and unprofessional contact at joint practices will not be tolerated. That didn't deter the Giants and Lions. They had more than a dozen scuffles at their camp, and it wasn't just the old shoving and pushing and mouthing off. There were some fists thrown, and really stupid when you think about it, too, because you see guys throwing punches at people when people, you know, guys are wearing helmets, and you're just going to end up busting your hand.
No, what you got to do is you got to punch him in the throat, or you got to go to uppercut. You can't go straight on. Let me tell you, one of the most famous fights in NFL history. I guess they call it the Nat Line in Macon, Georgia.
Right.
Buddy Ryan and the Eagles were coming down and playing Jerry Glanville in Atlanta. Talk about a free-for-all. It was unbelievable. The fight was so bad. You know how you have joint practices?
Yeah.
They had that practice. They stopped the practice. Then they couldn't even go the next day against each other.
Well, that's what happened. Tuesday session with the Lions and Giants. They just cut it short.
No. But did they practice the next day against each other?
No, that's today. Tomorrow they're playing in the game.
Oh,
preseason action. We'll see if that spills.
Yeah.
We'll see if it spills out into that game that was MetLife Stadium.
Yeah. So that I guess the NFL is trying to nip that in the bud. But if you can't ice skate, don't you like an ice hockey fight? I mean, I don't know. It's the players.
You're allowed to fight in hockey. You just get a penalty.
Yeah, you break your hand, so whatever. The moral of the story is if you ever get in a fight, don't take off your helmet. And if you're trying to get the best...
Go for the throat.
You go for the throat. You go for the Adam's apple.
No, don't go for the helmet.
No. You go for the Adam's apple, you might throw a few uppercuts and stuff. So, I've seen, like, I remember Tim Green. Now he's dealing with ALS, boy. And Tim Green, the author, played at Syracuse, first-round draft pick. They said the Eagles players, remember Scott Cason all telling me this, they had Tim Green up along a cyclone fence. And they were actually... One player was holding up his face mask, and the other one was giving him the business with the uppercuts. And it was like...
Tag team.
It was like, okay, we're not going to break our hand. And so I said, Scott, y'all didn't go to Tim's rescue or anything? What happened? They go, no. He was kind of a Rhodes Scholar, prima donna, so we're glad he was getting beat up a little bit. Even his own teammates. And Tim Green was a great individual, kind of undersized defensive lineman that always got it done. And we always loved going up there and wild turkey hunting in upstate New York and hang out with him and all.
Yeah.
But, you know, you tell stories when late at night you're having a few pops and all that. And so, hey, remember, Tim, that's kind of funny. None of your teammates came to your rescue as the Eagles were whipping you behind.
Well, hopefully when you go next week to California, you don't see any fights breaking out between the Niners and the Saints.
They liked him in California.
I don't know. They have a fight as part of the training camp. The only thing is, if you're getting in a fight, you don't want to get hurt in a fight. No, if you get in a fight, that could develop some toughness. But you know what? Everyone's not so dehydrated and it's so hot that you're aggravated. No, the weather's nice, so there shouldn't be any fights.
Yeah, like I said, I figure you usually get the pushing and shoving and some, you know, some curse words thrown at each other, but nothing too serious.
Yeah, a lot of curse words. Not a few curse words. A lot of curse words. And then I told you to stop holding me, whatever, and all that.
What you got for triple option?
Yeah, well, what I got for triple option, I thought this was unique. You know, it came out with the USA Today coaches poll. And obviously, you mentioned like LSU being 12. Coach O at the U now, working in Miami, they like number 19th. Tulane's number 46. Okay, you look at they're 46 in the nation right now. But the thing that caught my attention, I still call it 1AA, but the FCS poll. You know, not everybody can go to Nebraska or like Wisconsin. Whoever you might think is the top programs as far as, the Big 12, the Big 10, SEC, whatever. You know who's dominating right now, that next tier? It's the damn Dakotas. South Dakota State, the Jackrabbits, number one. Now, this team has always been amongst the best. North Dakota State, number two. Now, my best friend who passed away in 2015, the Montana Grizzlies, University of Montana, and then Montana State, the Bobcats, they're number four. So South Dakota State, North Dakota State, Montana State. Then you look at even number five, South Dakota, the Coyotes. So it's all these damn Dakotas or Montana who's really in the top five. If you look at the Southland Conference, Incarnate Word is number 14 out of San Antonio. I look at Nicholls State, they're representing. They're going to play the LSU Fighting Tigers. They're 23rd in the nation right now. So I just thought it was interesting because, you know, like the players, I want opportunities. And you see players now in the NFL from these Dakotas on the rosters.
Right.
So it's kind of like South Dakota State, North Dakota State, Montana State, South Dakota. It's all these. If you have a choice, you really don't want to go there. Now, some of them play indoors, but it's so damn cold up there, I might want to go to a different school.
I was going to say this yesterday, but, man, growing up, Dwayne Thomas with the Cowboys passed away a couple of days ago.
Oh, what?
Yeah. Man, controversial for his time, but, boy, was he a stud football player. Passed away, and, boy,
Mike,
you
how,
were
he
living,
that, how old was he? Wasn't that old? How?
In his 70s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, he drove Tom Landry crazy. That's when he was so good they knew he was doing the white powder and they still let him play. That's how dominant Dwayne Thomas was. You talk about
a guy that tilt the field for a couple years. It was Dwayne Thomas with the Cowboys.
He would tell the players. He'd tell the coaches to go take a hike. But he was that good, they didn't want to get rid of him.
They didn't want to upset him. For us. We'll be back with more here on Sports Talk right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Finishing up here in hour number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike DeTay along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, Steve Geller. Bob at 625. Yo, Coach Jim Mora joins Sports Talk here, and he'll give his thoughts on the Saints for the 2024
season. Jim Mora might be the best 89-year-old man that I've seen in a while.
We'll be back with more Sports Talk right after this news break.